Hey everybody. I'm so excited that this week I get to host a conversation with Jenna Hills, who is the head of training for Baptiste Yoga. And Jenna and I have known each other for over 20 years. We met when I was living in Victoria, BC, and we instantly connected. We instantly loved each other, and we have stayed connected off and on for the entirety of our relationship. Obviously distance plays a role. You move, you have babies, etc. And so Jenna reached out and wanted to share her voice with me on our podcast on The Leap. And so she's going to talk about her experience. She worked at Lululemon when there were only four Lululemon stores, which is hard to imagine, and stayed with Lululemon for 15 years, really working on culture in Lululemon. So lots to learn about how to build culture. But now, her journey into Baptiste Yoga has really helped her to, shape her philosophy of leadership. And we're going to talk about really how you disrupt business as usual, whether you're a leader and you want to disrupt business as usual in a boardroom or a meeting, or if you want to disrupt business as usual in your own life, some strategies that are required to do that. So I hope you love our conversation. I could have talked to her for hours. And here goes. Enjoy. Thanks.
Welcome. I'm so excited that you're here.
Hi.
And I was just trying to think about this when I was in the car today, like how many years we've known each other. Maybe I don't want to share that online because that might let everybody know how old I am. Not that I really care, but I'm thinking like it's 20 plus years for sure that we've known each other.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it is
It's
easy. Yeah.
easy. And I love what you were saying earlier,
Wow.
but the conversation that you had with our mutual friend Sarah, but like the arc of friendship. And like I was thinking how full circle this is, considering like we hitchhiked across Mexico together and now here we are on this podcast talking about like life and business and leadership. So as I said to you, I'm honored that you wanted to be a part of this.
Oh
Thank
my
you.
God, the honor is all mine. That is wild, our Mexico trip. That was such an important time, though. You and me in Mexico. How long were we? That was 3 weeks,
I
three
don't even
months, maybe
know.
even.
It was a long, it felt like a lifetime.
Yeah, it was a really challenging trip and
Yeah.
confronting and beautiful. I wouldn't
It
have
was,
wanted to do that with anybody else.
I know, and I'm just I was sitting back and I was trying to think like, what were the lessons that we took from being like 20-year-olds or however old we were at the time, deciding that, we were going to travel through Mexico together and, all the things that we encountered along the way, like, just the different interactions that we had. And, I think
Yeah.
back to that and I'm like, what was the takeaway from that? What was the purpose of that trip? Because I don't know if I'd want my daughters doing that today. Like, I think, oh my gosh. Like, it was a bit nuts, to be honest.
It was a really nuts time. You know what I remember though is I was up in Mexico, you were in Costa Rica, and I was probably transformation was going on. It was that time in my life, and you heard that in me. I didn't ask. But it's like I called, you heard the calling for a friend and you came up and got me. Remember? And then we hit the road together and we headed south and we had all those challenges. It just wasn't the, like for me, the big takeaway of it, that was one of my first encounters of life where like the hard, almost like not down and out, but it was like challenge after challenge. You could see how people in to get beat down. I realized like, whoa, another, stop that didn't lead to what we were, it's like we were seeking for something and it wasn't happening for us. And all we had was each other, and the reality and of that and in dangerous situations, but knowing how to get out of them. And yeah.
That's interesting because that like helped me think about like we were longing for something, weren't we? We were searching for
We
something.
were, we certainly were. Yeah, we were on a, yeah, what was it?
Maybe it was just good times because everything was good time. So intense. But
yeah,
but there was something we were looking for. There's some connection or something we were looking for that, you know, made us want to continue to keep going further, like further, further. Let's get on the next train. Let's get on the next bus.
Get on the next bus.
You know, and go to the next place. And maybe the next place will have, you know, experience. Something we're looking for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it didn't. Yeah.
I mean, and we cover a lot of ground. All of us are on. It's kind of metaphorical to a lot of things that go on in life. Right? Searching for something outside of ourselves. I think for our age, that was pretty normal. I mean,
yes.
Just that.
It kind of is a wonderful way to
hitchhiking through Mexico.
Right. And then what I would say to that, you know, in reflection, because I don't think we've actually really reflected on it, certainly not this far down, maybe closer to the time we like, wow, what was that about? But looking back, what I'm present to right in this moment is what I didn't have then that I have now was an ability to sit with myself. Mm-hmm. Like I was uncomfortable in my own skin, and not because of anything other than probably, you know, that the newness of being an adult mm-hmm. or something. Mm-hmm. And that kind of wanting, that yearning that I'm noticing now anyways is, you know, the just be with it, look around, mm-hmm. nowhere to go, nothing to fix, you know, very yoga kind of philosophies that I didn't have.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if I was myself doing that trip now, I wouldn't have gotten on so many bus rides, I probably would have sat more still. Exactly. I would have allowed to just the moment to unfold in front of me and would have been way more comfortable rather than running away from something.
I just said
we were running away. Yeah.
That's what we were doing, running away. Oh, I had it that we were running towards something.
Yeah.
But actually, it was, that's so good. Uh-huh. Yeah, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Or what is there to learn here and unfold and be with? And yeah, there's much more of that practice happening now for sure. Because I can't go anywhere.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Although some days the thought of like hopping on a bus and getting out of Dodge sounds like a dream come true. Well, okay, so we kind of dove right in to talk about us, and you know, this mm-hmm. time is really about you. And so, you know, I've watched and admired you from a distance for so long, and I know you've had just this amazing journey, you know, personally and professionally, and you know, you've got a really incredible background and so much wisdom to share. And so why don't you, like, I'm not a totally connected with what you've been up to be honest, you know, like I know where you've worked, but I haven't really known what that has meant or the impact that you've been making or what you've been passionate about. And so I want to hear about that. Like, give me your download for what you've been up to and like kind of what you're up to right now.
So fun. Well, I mean, this is cool because we haven't had the deep connect, and then I saw you're doing a podcast. And so thank you for creating a space where I could use my voice, because I know that that's something that's really important, not just for me, but for the people that it could impact, you know, the sharing is where the learning happens for others. So it's really for others, and you're creating that space for me to share. So thank you. And then I'd love to just connect with you. So,
I know.
Yeah. No, so fun. Well, you know, after that journey that we were on, that running away from, and oh my gosh, if I look, you know, I did lots of different iterations of what could possibly be career for me. You know, I knew that I'd love to work, and work for me is really a contribution. It's like a creative aspect of my life, like getting up and having something to go and participate in. Mm-hmm. And so, but it took me some time to really, and I mean, I'm still discovering what that is, quite honestly. I wasn't one of those people, and I'm still not where that clarity of like, oh, I am a tennis player. Like, you know, and you know, and that's, and it took me some time to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. So, but I found myself
really where my career began after, I did a fashion design program at one point. I worked in lots of restaurants through my 20s and did a lot of exploring. And I'm so, so grateful for that because of the education I got being on the road and trying out different education. Mm-hmm. And where I landed, though, was at Lululemon. Mm-hmm. And I landed at Lululemon when I was 27. So I wasn't a spring chicken, right? I was in my late 20s. And it was tiny at the time. There was just four stores. But I walked into that West Forth store in Vancouver, and it had that energy of, like, what is happening in here? There was a quality of communicating amongst the people. It was humming. Mm-hmm. And so it really piqued my interest. And because I had that fashion design background, a friend of mine said, you know, they're hiring to open another store. So at that time in my life, I really was, like, open to trying new things on. So I applied and I got the role and I worked at the store in Vancouver. And then what happened was the culture that was already in existence there, mm-hmm. with a very small team, like under 50 people, was that of goal setting and personal responsibility. And I was introduced to that that whole world, mm-hmm. in those early days, and it just completely turned me on. It just hit me in a way that I really got it, and I began the practice of what it means to be, like, really, I'm really getting that 100, like, what would it be like if I really lived, like, 100% of what's happening in my life, mm-hmm. was designed and created by me, mm-hmm. somehow through my word, through my choices. Everything around me, including the quality of my relationships, was my responsibility. And yeah, the journey began. And so I worked in the stores like everyone did for a couple of years, and then moved into the training and culture department, mm-hmm. and was responsible with a small team of people for really setting up the training and development of Lululemon. Mm-hmm. And it was all focused on this world of personal responsibility, and bringing it into the way we worked, the way we communicated, who we are for one another. And the goal setting aspect, really seeing each other as the future intention we are up for. And it was just it was timing, right? Like the group of people that were in that space, my colleagues, we were family. So mm-hmm. I grew up there, and the company grew 4 stores, 60 stores, et cetera. And I, my career kept moving in this realm of training and culture. And I was a training generalist and then a training manager. So then I began to partner with senior leaders, mm-hmm. Who were really running the operations. It was an operational game. So there's a lot of entrepreneurial spirit going on. I began to partner with these senior leaders and supporting them in their own strategy for their people. Mm-hmm. So I was like their people training, like developing people as your number one job as a manager, a leader. Mm-hmm. And that was great. I did that for, I think, 7 years. But there was this moment, I was now having babies. I wasn't on the road so much because I was called to be home. And so I was, again, in the inquiry of, you know, what's next and where is this unfolding? And I had a meeting with the head of strategy, this woman, Vivian, and I brought in a PowerPoint and we were looking to just make some decisions around a training, something or other. I don't remember the content, but what I remember is how I felt when I left that meeting, and it didn't feel great. I remember walking out going, okay, whatever that was, that's not me. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that was. And then Vivian and I saw each other later that week and I bumped into her and we had about a 2-minute interaction, and I asked her a few questions. I really was with her. I saw her. I heard what was going on for her. I reflected back. And then I walked away and I had the penny dropped or whatever that expression is. I was like, whatever that was, that's what has people want me to be in the room with them. Whatever. I don't know what that is, but that's what I offer. Like that's, you know, I knew she was going to have something. Her day was going to shift. There was something about that interaction. So I paid attention and I sat with it. And Tracy, my dear friend Tracy Hutton, who I'd also love you to meet, mm-hmm. she joined the organization and began to onboard and witness what I was up to, and she nailed it. She's like, what you're doing is coaching. Mm-hmm. What's coaching? And so I started to investigate this world of executive coaching, and I went to Royal Roads and got my graduate certificate in executive coaching, and now I have a practice. And I continued to work at Lululemon, and then there was a moment when it was time for me to go. I knew that I was ready. I had my three kids. I had this coaching practice, mm-hmm. and I was ready to be outside of an organization I'd been with for 15 years. And wow. So as a parting, 15 years. Mm-hmm. As a parting gift, I was gifted level one with Baron Baptiste, mm-hmm. which is a 6.5, a 7-day fully immersive transformational leadership development program where we spend time either on the mat sweating, like not even just sweating, like wringing ourselves, our bodies out, mm-hmm. and confronting all that comes up when we're physically challenged, or meditating, or in chairs doing inquiry work, mm-hmm. and then on repeat. And I left that program a totally different person, and was like, what was that? And Baron, having been an ambassador at Lululemon, a global ambassador, we connected in, and now I work for Baptiste Institute.
Wow.
As their head of people, HR.
Amazing.
That's the pathway.
That's the pathway.
Yeah. One version of it.
Yeah, right. I know. That's so one thing mm-hmm. that I've always I'm being, direct with my mm-hmm. language here. One thing that I have, absolutely known about you mm-hmm. from the day I met you. And I think I remember the day that I met you and your energy and what you bring into any kind of space. It's you are a disruptor. And I know that we chatted a little bit earlier to this, but you disrupt energy in a positive way. Like there's, the opposite of disruption, which is I just create chaos behind me. I'm not talking about that kind of disruption, but, I think about you, changing the atmosphere by your presence and the types of conversations mm-hmm. that you have and the energy that you bring into the room. And, that I hear about, I know we talked about that a little bit earlier, as you were kind of prepping for this call, it's like you see that somewhat is a bit of your role. And so what do you think about that? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I'm really touched by that because I also remember that time and we were young and and that disruptive presence has been something that has owned me a little bit. I was confronted in one of my trainings with Baron about the possibility of connection, connection, this kind of energetic connection being a gift. Mm-hmm. And it floored me because I was like, no, because I saw that if I'm not connecting well with somebody, like if you and I weren't connecting well, it would be so uncomfortable for me. And I find it difficult sometimes and it's intense. I'm emotional. I'm intense, all that. But what I got from, I was like, gifts are not talents or strengths. They are these unearned things we're born with mm-hmm. kind of qualities. And so what I heard when you were sharing that story was a bit of compassion for a younger version of myself that didn't know that was something, I didn't have any, I was just kind of walking around being it. And all I wanted was to connect, right? Mm. So I'm touched. Yeah. I'm touched by that's what was going on for me. And that you saw me in that, and that says something about you, that you would value it and see it mm. and honor it. And be drawn to it. And I think that's that's probably a lot of our friendship, our love for one another.
Yeah. And I've come
to, you know, and this isn't that profound to say this, but, you know, I know for it to be for myself and just from everybody that I meet, is that's the one thing that we all want more of is meaningful, real connection.
Connection. Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that everybody wants. And we, it seems so, you know, it's so attainable, right? It's like right beside us. It's right here in this conversation right now. Like it's right within reach. Yet we struggle with real meaningful connection so much, you know, for a lot of us, it can be hard. Like I just had a conversation with a girlfriend of mine over the weekend and we were talking about, you know, when you are, you know, quote unquote confident or when you are strong, which, you know, a lot of the times that can be a facade, you know, for me, that's been a facade in a lot of my life is like putting on, you know, my cloak of strength so that I can be like tough and get through situations. But on the inside, I'm really, you know, nervous and scared and doubtful and human, right? And so sometimes that confidence can prevent me from being able to make real and genuine connection with people because people just assume that I'm okay. Like, oh, well, you know, you've got it all together, so you're okay. So you don't need anything or anyone when it's actually the absolute opposite of what is going on for me and what I'm craving, right? Like I'm craving like real connection and to see through that, right? So it's interesting that you say that. I mean, that's...
Well, I think that's because, you know, when you're speaking about that moment we met, of course, what's important to note is that what was happening for me was you. Like, you were just this, strong, powerful, confident, kind of unmessable woman. and though what we connected on was that, like, I loved you, you know, like, loved you. Like, I wanted to know more, curious, and you saw me. And so it's almost like we penetrated something because I'm sure that I had my mask and... way on.
That is cool. I want to go back to something that you said earlier about, you know, Lulu, and you said, you know, I became really connected with his capacity, or you said like a moment maybe you were talking about learning, you know, that my life is, you know, my responsibility and I can be in control and I can design, you know, my life, and ultimately it is up to me. And, you know, I think about personal accountability is, you know, given the situation is what it is, what am I going to do about it? You know, because there's all the reasons why I couldn't do something. I mean, I can build a long list of all the reasons why I can't. And I think that there's a lot of people who choose that. Like I know in places in my own life where I've chosen that, where I've been like, oh, you know, I can't do this, or I can't have a meaningful relationship, or, you know, I can't communicate openly and honestly with my husband, or, you know, like I can't make it to the gym because, and I just don't have time. Yep. And like, it's a moment, I think, where we choose to be personally accountable, where we, like all of that flips and we start to form new habits, which lead to new behaviors, more successful behaviors. So what's your take on that? Like, how do people make that shift between kind of what I call like playing victim, meaning like I'm powerless in this equation and all these things are happening to me and I can't do anything in this situation, versus like true accountability, which is like, it's up to me and I got to figure it out. How do people, what's been your experience around that?
Yeah. So you know, there's not like a 1, 2, 3 step. And though the absolute acknowledgement and acceptance, like acceptance of what is so, as you know, it's more like the Buddhist philosophy of the wings of, Tara Brach talks about this in her podcast, the wings of presence. One wing is acceptance. I can't remember the other wing because I don't need to know it right now, but the like acceptance of what is, as like the totality of it, like a tree is perfect. You know, I don't look at a tree and be like, that branch is a little, you know, like a tree is just perfect. So the situation I'm in is just like whatever's happening in my marriage, perfect. It totally is the isness of it. And that requires a letting go, you know, because I can't be right about anything. I can't be wrong about anything, that I just get to be right about being wrong. You know, and it's like, it's really being adult about it, you know, because like if I'm victim or if I'm persecuting or if I'm rescuing, it's that drama triangle. And like the way out is just to be, I practice, you know, when I remember, is to just go, okay, what is so? And like relax into it. Okay, we are, I just yelled at my children. You know, I lost my cool, like totally lost my cool. And there's probably an impact to that. And I can feel it even as I'm saying it as an example in my stomach. Okay, then I notice that feeling, like it's like my tummy's flipping. Mm-hmm. Just be with that, just feel into it, just totally learning how to be with whatever's going on as a step.
And so that's hard.
Yes.
I'm sitting here, I'm so glad
you said that, because my aha around this, and it's only happened in the last, I remember my, when I was listening to the podcast, I kind of had it, Harriet, like acceptance, like, oh, accepting things as like the first baby step. And then all the work comes after that. And now I'm like, no,
that's the work.
That's the work. Like just getting enough distance, just enough to get that little bit objective, create that space, accept what is, like, that is everything. You know, there's so much that can come, like everything comes from that, but that's the work.
It is.
Yeah.
And does that require a lot of honesty? Because I think that when I am not, because when I am not accepting of situations, and a lot of situations of which I have contributed to, like I got, you know, we all have our DNA and everything. And when I'm playing victim, I'm like, this has nothing to do with me. I can find all the reasons why I'm right and I'm justified. And I can go out there seeking all the rightness and the righteousness that comes with that, you know, that power dynamic. And just like the whole connection between that and connection, like, and having real connection is just so crazy as I'm talking this out loud right now, because it's the opposite of connection. It's isolation.
Right.
The acceptance. So talk to me about what kind of, like, because I'm thinking for myself, that requires a level of self-acceptance.
That would probably be like accepting that I am an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, accepting that I learned that from my mom, and I grew up in a family like that, that would have me like, this is how I wound up being, like, it's all just like everything in my life got me to this very, very moment. And it's all, you know, a way that supports too is playing with the practice of what's available to learn in each moment, like the consideration that, okay, this is in my life, this character, this situation, this confrontation, this breakdown is here for me to get, like, to learn something for my own evolutionary purposes. I mean, now we're getting a bit, you know, but that can, if I can get that, that helps me accept, like, okay.
Because I could be very accepting of the fact that I think that this other person is an asshole and I'm really justified with my opinion, or I could be very accepting of the fact that, you know, my childhood was, you know, messed me up, and so this is not my fault. And so I could see that there could be a slippery slope between accepting things because it's making me right versus, you know, being honest with self and like knowing the contribution that we are making and learning from that so that we can develop like better, more successful approaches, strategies, mindsets, tools, whatever that is, right?
Harry, that's so good, because that's kind of the piece that motivates me for certain. And I, this is also slippery around growth and drive. And though the, what comes from this acceptance is the gift, right? Like, so that's what motivates me to even give it a shot to relax into, is that, okay, what could happen if I do this? And it's like getting out of tar. I kind of feel like, I don't want, you know, they are driving me crazy, but if I accept it, this new, that's where possibility happens. Like suddenly the children do something in a whole new way that they've never done before, or there's a space for a new conversation. It's where all the new adventure lives, is in that, is what comes after that moment, opposed to what you were saying.
So
around,
that's, yeah, I mean,
blaming.
I think that's
it's still blaming.
I,
It's, yeah, but it's also, it's giving, it's opening a window for us to be able to see what else is possible other than the, you know, the status quo way of thinking, which ties me right back to what I was talking about you earlier, is like, we're disrupting patterns of thought here. Like, it's another disruption.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Hmm.
And it's deeply uncomfortable because that is because of the, as human beings that tend, we want to have control. Mm-hmm. You know, if we get like anyone who's been around death and dying and getting confronted with our own mortality, I mean, but it's a very short life and it's pretty remarkable what's like being alive and connected and in love with what's, you know, nature and your chill, like the life you have, like when that gratitude pours in, it's like, wow, it's amazing to be alive. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot to cover that up, shop and eat and talk about nothingness and move on with our days as a way to control. Mm-hmm. Right. But there's no control in that accepting. It's like we have, it's like a total letting go. I have no idea what's going to happen in this next moment. Anything is possible. So it can be overwhelming for many of us, including myself. Mm-hmm. Which is why I want to hold on to being right. Mm-hmm. It's easier to fight, get them out the door. Yeah.
It's interesting, like how we naturally evolve. Like I've always wondered this, like how, you know, we're just constantly learning and growing, whether we're tuned into that or not. But yet we really struggle with vulnerability, even though that's what we're practicing in the world every single day, because I would anticipate that this acceptance and letting go of, it's a very, very vulnerable act. I mean, I got to open myself up to the possibility of being wrong. I have to be able to, you know, own my contributions to things. I need to be able to expand my thinking and see you for something other than the story that I've been telling myself about who you are, what you've been doing. And so there comes risk with that. There comes lack of control in that. And then I think when I get really deep and I think about it, I'm like, well, we don't fucking control anything.
Exactly.
Really and truly. Like we don't control really anything, but we spend our days like guilty as charged trying to control all this minutia all day long. And like, for what purpose? Like, holy shit.
Yeah. All to avoid. Yeah.
All to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Feeling.
Mm-hmm. And yet the thing that we want the most of is connection. It's just
exactly that's the
whole
cost.
Circle. I just like my head is like swirling with all of these different components that are like interconnected and yet so broken for so many of us.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something in the space. I mean, maybe I'm just present to it. I mean, it's always been here, but I'm certainly present to this, you know, I say feminine, I don't mean woman, I mean, or man, I mean really like feminine feeling into component of leadership. Mm-hmm. As a really powerful, like you want to get everything you've ever wanted, that is a way. Mm-hmm. And I can feel myself hesitating because it can get sounding woo-woo pretty quickly, you know?
That's all right.
And I don't know what I'm afraid of woo-woo for. Like right there. I mean, that's an indicator right there that there's something covered up. Mm-hmm. That I feel some shame about speaking to or something as a... Mm-hmm. But the ability to feel... Our bodies don't know how to lie. They don't. Like, our minds are trickery, right? Like, rationalize, analyze, philosophize, distract. Like, it's so powerful that way to just have a mood of confusion to even avoid. But bodies don't know how to lie. So being able to really feel into an experience, you know, you're sitting at a board, at a table in a meeting. Someone says something and my palms get wet. Like, you know, or my stomach flips. Like, what is that? You know, it's so quick. I'm so quick to override that, or worse, make it that something's wrong with me. I'm just nervous. And that we're laughing, like put on shoulder pads and red lipstick and buck up and like, you know, like as a strategy, right? When like a practice is, okay, so I noticed my stomach flipping when that got said, like, do I have the courage to actually put my hand out, lean forward and say, hold on, hold tight. something is going on in this, something's happening before I know what it is. Like, do I have the courage to do that? And trust my body so as its innate intelligence that I don't have to question it or find the answer. My body just told me something's up. Like, what has me not just raise my hand everywhere I go and walk around just letting my body tell me? Mm-hmm. Like, what's been, and there's something around feeling and it being not okay to feel as a leader that we've been taught.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have been taught it and we've been, I'm very with you on this distinction between masculine versus feminine from an energy state, you 100%. And I also hold back on having this conversation, you know, when I'm hosting it with groups, because I'm worried about how I'm going to be perceived when I talk about this, which is the problem or the challenge, the opportunity, wherever you want to frame it right in front of us, because, you know, intuition or an intuitive knowing and sensing of the world is not how businesses are run.
Right.
It's not how, even though it's how, it is how decisions are made, because we behave emotionally first and we act rationally second. I mean, that's just a fact. But emotion is labeled feminine and, you know, rational thought is more masculine, you know, and I see like emotions, for me, emotions are data. I try to explain it to people, like emotions are data, like just like your spreadsheet and your P&L is data. So is the feeling and the sensing that I'm having in this conversation and in this room with you right now. And it's actually what's driving my behavior positively or negatively.
Right.
But it's
and you do and have those conversations.
Oh yeah.
You bring that in. Yeah. That's
I do, but it's, but people are like, but it's messy and uncomfortable and I don't know how to measure it. I don't know how to talk about it. And there could become a line when it gets too emotional and then what will people think? And then it always comes back to, well, what will people think of me? And will they think I'm a weak leader?
Yeah. Right. Found out.
Yeah. Found out for being human. Wow. You know?
Yeah.
So
and then what? Cast aside, not, it's really an old paradigm, isn't it? And a powerful one.
And it's even the label of woo-woo, you know, but I think you can put emotion on any P&L, you could measure it. You know, how people are feeling in any given moment is what is positively or negatively driving your bottom line. Like, it's not rocket science here.
No, it isn't.
And it goes back to connection. And like the biggest, I think our biggest opportunity for growth, just from a business lens and a leadership lens, is in the space of human connectivity. Like, to
I couldn't agree more.
Create real meaningful connection, which means we just need to learn to be ourselves.
And be with one another.
Yeah, be with one another. Wholly and completely. And that whole acceptance piece is so a part of that. And the letting go piece is such a huge part of that.
You know, I'm picturing you and me and other people at the table having a discussion and, you know, and what would be possible from, you know, this person leans in and says, something's off. I don't know what it is. And we could just be with that person and they could get emotional about it and we could just be with them and they have their whole, it would all come up. And they could let it all go. Like, imagine what gets revealed in those meetings. And here's the thing, that happens. Like, that's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And though, do we value it? Are we embracing it? Are we calling for it? Are we harnessing it? Like, no, like harnessing that in those moment to moment. Like, life is just one big meeting. Like, really, like conversation after conversation. Mm-hmm. And we do everything in relationships. So what you're pointing to is, it wouldn't even require, I mean, all it would require would be being with what's already occurring in a new way. Like, it's not like we have to go create a whole new model of anything. We could use our existing model, but how we be in the model could transform the whole thing. It's actually, I mean, I'm pretty passionate about this as the humanitarian crisis, you know, continue to climb just by the sheer volume of how many people there are, you know, and this work is, I mean, that's why I'm so excited to connect with you too, because of the work you're doing. It's so valuable, Harriet. I hope you know that.
Well,
and you as well. And I think the work that all that we all do is so valuable. And I think that everybody kind of, some people are very connected to that and other people lose sight of it and think that, you know, well, I'm not a leader or what I do doesn't make an impact, or, you know, I'm just this, you know, I hear that a lot. Like, I'm just fill in the blank, you know, tying their identity to a role and not seeing that it has much to offer the world. And so what would you say to those people who might be thinking that?
I love, like, is that a leadership is not a role, mm-hmm. right? Leadership is a phenomenon that occurs between people in a moment. It's always available and anyone can be it. So, and this has been a reframe for me. I mean, I might have spoken to that or read about it, but I'm more and more getting that leadership happens. It's a happening. So, and it came from a discovery I had about a concept like that leader. I kind of had leadership as a, like a way of being, like a mm-hmm. leader looks like this, mm-hmm. right? Cause I had some exceptional leaders in my life. And so, you know, wonderful to model after them, but it caused it to be a bit like, it looks like this or it sounds like this. And then, mm-hmm. and then I was introduced to the notion that really what leadership is for a individual is being so clear, nothing in the way, like so unconstrained that you could be in a space and be whatever is needed mm-hmm. for that space. So if fun, let's say fun is needed, then like be fun. Let's say firm is needed. Well, then I'd have access to firm. Mm-hmm. Let's say generosity is what's needed. Okay, then I'm going to be and bring generosity through my leadership. Mm-hmm. And I have access to all of it. Because I'm so clear that I'm so up for others mm-hmm. that I'm not in my own way, right? Like I'm not like concerned about what you're going to think about me, or I'm not concerned about how that might sound. It's like, oh no, I just bring it. So I get myself out of the way and I just bring what's needed as a leader. Boom. And that moment. And what's needed right now is nothingness. Got it. Sitting, feet on the ground, mouth closed, nothingness. I can be that for the space. Because it's not about me in leadership.
Mm-hmm. That is very profound, because like I just see this thread that's woven through what I'm taking as, you know, your mindset, your philosophy, whatever you want to call it. About leadership. And, you know, I think that requires an immense level of flexibility, but it also requires, back to the piece around like the acceptance of, I'm going to meet the situation and the person wherever they're at, which means that this is not about me, it's about you. But I need to be able to let go. So let's just say I assume in this situation that, you know, this situation requires firmness or requires whatever, but I missed the mark.
So good, right? Because that's it. Then we get to get into the whole conversation about failure and begin again. And now there's a new moment. Okay, that didn't work. In the past, let it go. Get the feedback in the moment. Try something new on.
So here's where I always get, I'm with you 100%. And the thing that always has kind of struck me is that we don't typically, I mean, I think that some organizations do a better job of this than others, but I think, you know, we develop, train, coach, promote leaders for being right.
Yeah.
For making the right decisions.
Yeah.
For making like good, solid choices.
And we reward it.
Right. And so
emotions and pay.
Yeah, we're going through this like stripping down of actually we, you know, authentic and real leadership is not being the most brilliant person in the room and, you know, letting go of all of that. But that really, I mean, I could go to another level. Like that is a breakdown of like patriarchy and all kinds of systems and social.
Yep.
It's like a whole thing that's changing and shifting. And you can see it in our society, you know, read anything anywhere and you'll see that's happening all around us. But it's like, do we have the resources to help leaders make this transition? Because I think that there are some, but I think that there are a lot of people who, like, that's life-changing work. And so, you know, I know that you're in this space, this is what you're doing. So how are you supporting leaders to be able to make this transition from like the older style of leadership to this kind of new leadership model?
I love this question. Because when I get my life, I kind of get it. Like, okay, so it's 2019. Like, what an honor to be alive right now. Like, wow, what a time in humanity. And then I get the, like, I look kind of a 5,000 year approach, like where we are in history. Like, I think exactly what you're saying is happening. I really believe in a changing of the tides. And to start, you know, I remember my mom made a comment, something about, you know, her era, because she did a lot. She was in the 80s, 70s and 80s in her career, and feminism and what that means and languaging around it. And she spoke to it some, like it was done or something. And she, not that that's what she believes, but it caused us to get into that new conversation about, no, we are really in a process right now. And it's, I mean, we don't know where in the process we are, but we're in a breakdown of, an old model into a new. And so the work that I'm doing actually is I work with Baptiste Institute, and the most powerful way that I've seen to support leaders in this is for them to have their own transformational experience inside, like really deeply personally, like getting themselves in a way that they like completely altering their point, like where they're coming from as a human being, like coming. And that happens through really, there's lots of ways that it can happen. And the way that it's really impactful is a intensive, like a week long intensive of inquiry, meditation, and then yoga on the mat, like bringing the body up, the physicality of that, and on repeat. So I'm crazy for this work that I'm supporting right now. And then it's really about getting it to all corners of the planet for people. And I really believe what's going to happen, Harriet, I think we're doing it right now, right here, like right in this conversation, is meeting each other. So I'm in this way of doing this transformational self-development work for leaders that causes them to go out and be brand new with their families and their communities. It's one of the reasons I love working with executives, because the impact they have, the decisions they make impact thousands of people like through the organization. So if they are clear and in their, you know, real purpose and making choices that is for others because that's who, because they can, like I'm up for supporting that clearing for them. And I think there's lots of ways to do it. I think there's the one more modality that I've really fallen in love with is through Baptiste yoga work. And I'd love to, I mean, you're doing workshops and ways, and it's not all in the classroom, but it is, there is something about it happening personally that alters the human being, and then who they are in their communities get altered, and like that, like really person by person.
I think, like leadership to me is, it's an inside game. I think the challenge for a lot of people is that they have to practice it out loud. And so when we come face to face with, you know, our own awakening or our own awareness that the inside game needs an upgrade, like there's some things we all do. And some of us have the luxury of experiencing that, and some of us don't, like, you know, it's reality. Some of us don't, we spend a lot of time masking, numbing, you know, avoiding.
Rather than growth is painful. It's literally painful. I mean, birth is messy and painful. I'm really getting that. Like it's, you know, it was just 3 days ago. And I have my friend in town. She'd just been in Peru and been working with a shaman, doing really incredible work. And she supported me through something. And I was in the kind of pain, like crying, like a pain, like my body hurt, like just really dealing with some things in one of my relationship and being with it. And I mean, shop, Netflix, booze, food, like that numbs all that. And it's not bad. I'm not saying like it. You should see me right now. I mean, I love shopping and, you know, I've got my, I'm not like on the mount. Yeah. I'm not, you know what I mean? but it was like, the way I felt the next day, like I actually moved through something. Mm-hmm. And it's like a requirement. Mm. So can we be with ourselves? And it's quite lonely, I found too. You know, I could reach out and call you and you could be with me and hold me through that. And though all you'd really be doing was holding space for me because it's mine to experience, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. So, and then it's like we have mini things like that happen right in the meeting or right at the dinner table. You know, that's more like I'm being a bit extreme. Like it's got a drama to it. I didn't mean that. I just meant more that like those moments when someone says something and you want to be, I want to be defensive. This is what I practice pretty often. I can feel the defensiveness. Like it's feedback, right? Like, oh yeah. Well, how was that? You know? And I just go, no, soften, mm-hmm. open my heart, put my feet on the ground, mm-hmm. like let it in. That's a lot of Brene Brown's work too, right? You know, soft heart, strong back, like practicing that though, moment to moment, conversation by conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have spent like about 12 years of my professional career hosting Fierce Conversations, which is a great book by Susan Scott. Yeah. And you know, she has like three, you know, kind of life-changing, you know, what I think are like just common, they're simple in terms, people are like, well, that makes sense to me, but they're very difficult to practice. And the first idea is that, you know, our careers, our companies, our relationships and our personal lives succeed or fail gradually, then suddenly one conversation at a time. And so the belief is that conversation is the workhorse of all of our results. But ultimately, and so then conversations are our relationships. So, you know, what we put into conversations is ultimately what we get out of our relationships. And the last, and I think most important one, what we've been talking about today is, you know, all conversations are with myself and sometimes they involve other people.
Right.
Right. And I think like that ongoing conversation that we need to have with ourselves is the beginning and the whole circle that, you know, we need to be that inner work that guides that outer, whatever, you know, results, success, manifestation, motivation, you know, whatever you're striving for, which I think is healthy to want to strive for things and be driven and want to achieve something. I think too many people are like, you know, humble about that. Like, go get it, you know, go for it.
Right.
That ultimately has everything to do with the way in which we talk to ourselves, what we believe.
What we believe, right? And how to see that.
Mm-hmm.
How to see the conversations we're having with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that yoga and meditation provides people with an opportunity to be able to do that? Like I know a lot of your career has been obviously very deeply connected with the practice of yoga.
Yeah. Yeah. And what it does, it's like got such a practicality to it. I'm so glad you asked because it's, there's such an accessibility. So meditation for me is like quite simply sitting still, sit still, hands, like just sit in my chair, close my eyes and be totally with whatever's going on, present, breathing, simple, simple, simple. And what that exercises is the inner witness. Like that, it gives strength. Like if we were to do weights, lifting dumbbells or whatever, and it strengthens my biceps, sitting in meditation strengthens my inner witness, my ability to see myself objectively. Like just that little bit of space gets, so when I become my anger, become my defensiveness, my inner witness can go, hang on, you're being that, like, hang on, like it's what calls me out. Mm-hmm. So that's like meditation, you know, and it's happening everywhere. I mean, you see it, doctors are just going to prescribe meditation. Like it's, it is so, we don't even know how powerful it is. So, and believe you me, I'm not meditating every day all the time. It's like the resistance to sitting is very real.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'll be sitting and then I'll suddenly be up and writing notes about something. I'm like, what? You know, I put my alarm on my phone. Like,
Don't sit too long. We don't got sit stuff too to long. Do. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, and then the yoga piece is that so much about it is the physicality, and a strong. Here's what it's given me. The difference now is instead of going for a run so that I can, be stronger, mm-hmm. I now go for a run because my body loves running. Mm-hmm. Or something. Yeah. And I feel like I'm running free, but it's like, no, I have a body that can run and it feels good to run and it likes this, that I'm doing this for it. It's a more in the moment thing rather than like going for an outcome. And it's yoga that showed me that way.
Oh, it's interesting.
Yeah, just keep getting on the mat and doing the same posture and noticing how different I am every time. It's like, whoa, the difference isn't in the yoga, it's in my the inside. Meditation and yoga gives access to the inner way.
I love that inner witness.
What, to your point.
You have really beautiful language about describing things that I'm like all over it. stealing all of your language. Because it just makes so much sense. It's just such a fresh way to, hear you describe things a certain way. And so I want to give you, more of a platform to, talk about anything that you feel like you wanted to bring to this conversation that you haven't had the opportunity to talk about. And then I have a couple of, if it's all right with you, like a couple of what I think are kind of like lightning round type of questions, like ask a quick question, like give me a quick answer, or like punchy stuff, like just trust your instincts and put out whatever's out there. But before we do that, like, I don't want to make, too intense, but before we do that, like, I know you came to this with a intention. And so what has been left unsaid that you still want to convey, you still want to get across to anybody who's going to listen to this podcast? Hopefully somebody will. No, I'm sure someone will. Yeah.
At the end of that, I have so enjoyed just being with you.
Yeah, I know, right? Right.
Exactly.
So good.
Okay. There is an urgency. Mm-hmm. There's an urgency in how we are for one another and with one another. Like the idea of doing this work as something that I can start tomorrow or next year, or I'm not ready. Like that, that's what there is to let go of. This is work for anybody. And the urgency is that for this person who's listening, who wants to be more, like just take it on, because then the way I see the change happening, the humanitarian capabilities strengthening in consciousness and us actually having reciprocity with each other and the earth and all working out, like the way that I see it all working out away is by being able to be in the grocery store with someone who is rude and not be rude back, and it's those ways of being with one another. Like if we look at war, if we look at destruction, if we look at the ways that we're mistreating each other and the earth, it starts because we're mistreating ourselves. Like we're not actually consciously being for each other. Mm-hmm. That's where all the breakdowns are. So this work is really critical, critical, critical. And it's not for someone else. I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. This isn't for me. It's to this. I'm to this. Like that's what there is to let go of, like each and every one of us, so that we can be our unique contribution. Mm-hmm. Like not a second to lose. Not a second.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you had said earlier about, like, I think you said leadership is always accessible. Like, it's always available.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so...
moment to moment.
Yeah. Like, that to me has kind of been the theme that I've heard you talk about. Like, everything that we want is right here within our reach. It's right at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. It's always accessible if we are willing to, let go and accept... what is happening around us in order that we can attract it and, listen to it and hear it and then do something with it and take it and do good with it. And so that's, that's something that I was going to ask you. I was going to, you said, you know, I've never heard anybody say like the 5,000 year ago view. I was like, only Jenna would use that term of reference. I was like, 5,000 year view, because that's how big you think. I know that. And so that was what I was going to ask you, is like, what is your 5,000 year view? What role do you see, you know, leaders? I know we'd use that term loosely, but you know, what's required from us in order to be able to, you know, positively impact the future, to, you know, change the direction, to change the course? What do you think we need more of? And what do you think we need less of?
We need more love. Mm-hmm. It's all in love, like really love. And less fear.
Mm-hmm.
We have, this earth is really precious in terms of its ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the universal will allow humanity to ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think humanity's here to ruin it. I don't. I really believe in conscious evolution. I feel like consciousness and humanity can work with reciprocity with this incredible planet. And we can actually, I see 5,000 years traveling different, let's say domains. What is it? The third, what's the word, Harriet? No. Two dimensions.
Dimensional
travel. You know, the earth was flat once upon a time to humans, and then it was round, which was like, no, I like that. I think we're getting it. That's what's coming.
Right.
And that's what we'll discover, other life forms potentially. Like, I think that there's a whole, you know, I mean, if we can imagine the sci-fi stuff, imagine what's actually going on that we can't imagine. So, and love is what's required.
And just as you were talking about the shifts that can happen for you on a personal level, you know, you use the example of, you know, being in a meeting and like, you know, not wanting to speak out, or, you know, recognizing that you've, you know, yelled at your kids, or, you know, like, I'm being a jerk today, or whatever the case may be. And that practice of acceptance. So imagine what would happen if everybody was able to practice that. I mean, that insight that we would get from just the small insights that we get from our day-to-day interactions with people. I mean, imagine what that would do to just, you know, consciousness and evolution and
trajectory. Oh my God. You know, I just saw when you said that was actual creative forward moving conversations everywhere down the street what could be mundane, when we might look at each other and go, hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Or not even look at each other. It could be like, what do you need today? How's your day going? Is there anything I can do for you? Like, to strangers, like, imagine.
I know. And think
it's
about
like all the things, village.
All the things we would see that we're not currently seeing right now, we're not able to see them because we are not allowing
ourselves. We're not looking.
So I think all the things that we want are right there in front of us, but we have to change.
Right.
Pretty crazy.
This
conversation just myself. I'm like, oh, I've got work.
Me too. I've exactly got goosebumps, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we know that we have what we need to feed everybody. Like, world hunger is not an issue of not enough food.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we know these things. So what we're talking about is a solution to things like world hunger. Like, and it's in the moment to moment, conversation by conversation.
Well, leadership is always accessible.
Mm-hmm. Always
accessible. It's, I guess, the challenge is, you know, do we genuinely choose it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, and that's not because we're bad. It's because we're evolving so quickly. We don't need our kind of defense mechanisms that we're like scared little squirrels as people. We're afraid of each other because we're threatened so easily, right? And then our reptilian brain comes in. It's like an evolutionary thing, and that's like conscious work, like meditation. It expands. It gets us out of that like reptilian. Okay, so and so said that. Okay, my tummy flipped, and I don't need to. It's not personal. It's not about me. Like, what's going on? What's going on for them that had them say that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it takes a time. Like, it's not. That's big work.
I have like tried to understand, maybe this is my own version of acceptance, like, and I'm trying to translate what you're teaching me mm-hmm. right now and like how that relates to me. And I've tried to accept this for myself and for other people, is that we're doing the best we can with the tools that we've been given.
Yes.
And some of us have been given really shitty tools.
That's right.
So, you know, and like to have compassion.
Or none.
Or none, right?
Definitely.
And like to have compassion
none.
For the fact that, like, you know, you're not, I think very few people intentionally are trying to be an asshole, you know?
That's right.
I think there are people out there that are, but if you were to go down that path, the journey that they've been on, if you were to explore their life, you'd probably find out that they had some pretty shitty experiences, right? So I
100%. Totally, like, people got to where they are and they're being how they're being because that's how they wound up being because of the life that they lived. And if I lived that life, I would too. Yes.
And so then, but then
people are doing their best.
People are doing their best, but the tipping point is that we can do better. And so that's where development and training and coaching and all the things that we're talking about today, the resources help, but you have to be willing to want to do that. You need to be able to go back to that level of personal accountability and responsibility, be able to say to yourself, given that this shitty stuff happened to me or given whatever has gone on, like, what am I going to do about it so that I could do better? And I think that that is the conscious awakening choice that we all need to make in order to be able to evolve and to, you know, get to the next level, to make those, you know,
I love how you said that. It's so good because it can be so, I remember from my own experience, and it was like a threat. Like, you got to do better or, you know, so it was like coming from fear, but the way you just position it, it's like, that's like, it's such a great consideration. Like, what if we are here actually to continue to ascend? You know, my friend Chloe said something really powerful. She was noticing how her parents were kind of being old school about something, and then it occurred to her, well, I better be more involved than my parents. That's the role of humanity. And then my children better be more involved than me. And it's like, oh, this is the natural order of things, right? Is to evolve. Like, if that we could relax into that, then it becomes like learning, and it could be enjoyable rather than a fear-based, we're all gonna die if we don't. That's not working. Like, that's straight up just not working for humanity.
No, it's not.
That's like, it's not working. Yeah, it's got to be, yeah, through love and enjoyment and through, it's got to, reciprocity.
Yeah. Well,
okay. Woo!
That was a lot of really good stuff. I don't have a lightning round now for you now because you answered everything that I was going to ask you.
Okay, great. That was lightning enough for me.
Now I'm like, that was really good. And, so if people want to go to this intensive experience that you've been talking about at Baptiste Yoga, where do they go? How do they figure this out?
BaptisteYoga.com. BaptisteYoga.com. And there is a program for anybody. Like, level one, Journey into Power, is the week-long immersion that it really is the core of the existence of it. And we're also offering a teacher course. So it's yoga teacher training. Really. And though the level one experience is, I would love everyone in my life. Harriet, let's get you there.
I'd love to go.
You don't. Okay. So the website
anybody,
and everything.
Like any level of yoga experience, like, if you don't have
any level of yoga experience, any physical capabilities, any, background, it's for, any body. Yeah.
Love it. Well, I just want to say thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you for connecting.
And thank you.
Yeah. I've got so many things to think about, and please let's not wait however many years again it is for us to connect.
No, I'm going to call you in 10 minutes. And
I know.
Keep going.
Like, can we hang up so we can keep talking? So
yeah,
I will. Yeah, exactly. My kids have actually just come home from my, their ice cream break while we could do this call. So now's a good time for me to,
I'm
probably going to burst in here any second anyway. So,
okay, perfect. Let's get complete. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Talk soon. Okay. Bye-bye.